Matthew chapter 17. Text says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. We continue to probe the imagination of God and the church by now turning to faith. To many, faith is just that. It's a figment of the imagination that sometimes come true, but oftentimes it doesn't. To some, faith is made up energy to help you get through a challenge. LeBron James will make that shot. I have faith. Susan will pass that test. I have faith. God will heal him. I have faith. Now, don't you wish it was that easy? Don't you wish that you could just believe it, have faith in it, and it would happen? Just believe that you will have $1 million. And you can have it. Don't you wish it was that easy? If it was that easy, someone should have told this guy. Dashrath Manji was a poor laborer in a small town village in India. They lived in a town that was full of hills. And getting back and forth to work, they would have to travel over the hills. And one day his wife fell trying to climb the hills. And as a result of her injury, she grew worse and grew very ill, and she died. All believe that had she been able to receive medical treatment from a physician or doctor, she would have survived. But getting to the doctor was the problem. You see, Manji lived 43 miles from the nearest doctor. It was learned that the reason for the 43-mile journey was because of huge hills. Let's call them mountains. You had to navigate over these mountains to get to the nearest doctor. So don't you believe that if Jesus' words about moving mountains was so easy, Dashrath would have just said to those hills, be gone. But that's the problem with faith. It's not an exact science. Faith, or the lack of faith, becomes the default answer to questions of why things don't go the way that they should. Several years ago, at work camp, where we paint houses there in the summer, I remember we were at a house of a older woman. And she was just such a delightful woman. I remember meeting with her in her living room. And I remember her saying, hallelujah, my house is going to get painted. She was a very spiritual woman. And I remember during the week of camp, they were working. And we were driving this van that every day we had to pray that it wasn't going to break down. And I had faith that it wasn't going to break down. And it broke down at this lady's house. And I remember that day it broke down. And she was in the house having a Bible study with a friend of hers. and knocked on the door and said, hey, we're going to have to leave the van here because the van broke down. And her and her friend looked at each other and said, oh, no, we got this. Come on, get all the kids and gather around. And they all held hands and gathered around this van and they began to pray. And Doris McGee, this woman, she began to pray and pray, and her friend began to pray, and she said, now get in that van and start that van up. And of course it didn't start. And they prayed some more, probably about 30, 45 minutes of prayer. Car wouldn't start. To which this dear woman looked at all the kids and says, you guys don't have enough faith. And that's why the van didn't start. Now we'll look at that, we'll laugh at that, we'll even kind of snarl at her. How dare she say such a thing? Well, she took her cue from Scripture. Because that's something that Jesus said a lot. Take for instance, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse number 28. It says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even a Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Do you see that we have a Jesus that often got irritated when there was a lack of faith or little faith? How dare you worry about clothes or what, how you're going to be clothed if you don't have, it's because you have little faith. How about Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 23, where it says, then he got into the boat and the disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up and on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, what, you of little faith? Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. In Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse number 25, it says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why do you doubt? You see, when things didn't go the way that it should have went or the way that people expected it, how did Jesus respond? You have little faith. As opposed to other instances where there was healing or there was seeming success to something, he commended the person for their faith. Take for instance Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 20. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned to her and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he says, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. Luke chapter 17, verse number 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Talking about some lepers who were cleansed. Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. But going back to the text that I read earlier from Matthew chapter 17, a man brought his son to the disciples to get healing from his epileptic seizures. He said that the disciples couldn't do it. The disciples were at least courageous enough later on to ask why they couldn't do it, to which Jesus says what he has said in the past. It was their unbelief, their lack of faith. He then says that if the disciples had faith of a mustard seed, they could move mountains. Again, Matthew 17 and 20. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say that this mountain move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Allow me to introduce the next leg of our What If series. It's a simple question with profound implications. It is drawn from the collective imagination of God and the church, and it is simply rendered this way. What if we had faith that could move mountains? A follow-up question could be, what if we really believed as Jesus imagined we should believe? Additionally, what if we believed nothing was impossible for us to accomplish? We sometimes call ourselves believers. To say that we are believers is to assume that, assume the obvious, that we are people of faith. We are people of faith not because it's a cool disposition to have. We are people of faith knowing that it is what pleases God. Remember the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, Hebrews 11 and 6 is a reiteration of a thought penned prior to the thoughts offered in chapter 11. That's the chapter that has the heroes of faith, all those characters from the Old Testament that talks about how they lived by faith. But listen to what the author writes in just above chapter 11 in chapter 10, verse number 35. It says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." God's people are people who live by faith. To live by faith is to say we believe and trust in God. To live by faith is to have confidence in God. To live by faith is to proclaim that death is defeated by death, that sickness is defeated by faith, a trial is defeated by faith, perseverance is fueled by faith, integrity is fueled by faith, energy is recovered by faith. That's the message of Hebrews 11. It relives the stories of our spiritual ancestors like Noah, who lived in an area that they didn't see rain, that was in the desert, wasn't a lot of water, but by faith he built a large boat anyway. It's stories like Abraham who didn't have a lot of evidence to go on because he wasn't even a worshiper of Jehovah, but when God called him to leave everything that he knew to be home, he followed God by faith. There's stories like Joseph who lived under some incredible circumstances. He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, but he was exalted to a position in Egypt that ultimately helped the salvation of all of his people. And he did all of that despite the circumstances by faith, like Moses, who faced his oppressors and overcame fear of facing up against the most powerful individual on earth. So powerful. But Moses, by faith, went up against this most powerful individual and told him what Jehovah had told him to say. And he did that and followed him by faith. Stories like Joshua, who led the battle of Jericho, and they overcame those walls by faith. And Jesus, who fulfilled his earthly ministry by authoring and finishing what needed to be done. And he did it all by faith. It was Jesus who the Hebrew author said was the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The text says, look to Jesus, who was looking to the joy that was set before him or in front of him, which means he was looking forward and not backwards. Which is to say, people who live by faith do not look back. But by saying no looking back, it's not the simple physical act of looking back that we're saying we're not going to do. It's much deeper than that. Remember the story of Lot and his wife. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't have time to talk about that whole story, but God was going to destroy it. Abraham tried to spare it. But it was an evil place, some bad things going on there. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 23, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah turns to the plight of Lot and his family, who God had told Lot to leave. He told him, take your wife, take your daughters, and go. Just go. Just run. Get far, far away, because in a few days, this place will be no more. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 23, it says, by the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, many of us have a cemented visual of this story in our mind that here you have this family leaving Sodom and Gomorrah back and his wife, you know, they're looking, he's going forward, and we have cemented in our mind, and it may be the way we were taught when we were in Bible class, that as soon as she looked back, poof, she turned into a pillar of salt, or if some have said a pillow of salt. Raphael painted a painting that's still hanging in the Vatican, I think in the Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica, where you have Lot and his two daughters, and there you have the wife that simply has turned her head back, and poof, she turns into a pillar of salt. Now, I'm not sure that that's exactly what was being communicated there, but all we have is our English Bibles to tell this story. The Hebrew word translated look back is a Greek word. Let me find it here. Naubit. This word literally means to look so intently as to suggest pleasure and favorability. Some interpreters suggest that Lot's wife didn't simply look back, but she turned around and went back. You see, she favored life in Sodom and Gomorrah more than she favored looking forward with God and Jehovah. Lot's wife burned with the rest of Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't just a simple look back. Oh, look. It was a, y'all go do y'all thing, I'm going to go do my thing. As such, she burned with the rest of the residents who did not flee. Faith in the tradition of Lot's plight is to say, I look forward toward Jehovah and God. I trust him. I will follow him. I'm leaving my past behind and I'm looking forward. The just will live by faith and will not shrink back or look back or be held captive by their past. Faith is not measuring what we will do by what we once did. Faith is not saying it's impossible because it wasn't possible in the past. Well, what if we had faith that didn't look back? A faith like never before. What if the measure of our faith was not suffocated by our fears, anxiety, or reservation? What if our faith wasn't sniped out by our impatience, our intellect, or our doubt? What if we really believe that all it took was faith like a mustard seed? Oh, wow, church. So often we are so held captive by our past. We're so held captive by by, man, this is how it used to be, and there's no way we can do this because this is, we tried that in the past and it didn't work. What if we were people who looked forward? Remember Dashrath Manjoo? He passed away in 2007. He was given a state funeral by India and was nicknamed the Mountain Man. Why? Because he was determined to never allow what happened to his wife to ever happen again. He took a hammer and a chisel, and for 22 years, he literally carved out a 360-foot path through the hills so that 43-mile trek would only be a little more than the length of a football field. The road that he chiseled out of that mountain allowed the villagers easy access to markets, schools, and doctors. That gives a new meaning to "if I had a hammer," doesn't it? No one would ever say they suffered ill fate because of this mountain. Despite being called mad and crazy, he dug. Despite being told it can't be done, he dug. Despite people saying there is no way that you can do this, he dug. At first, no one helped him. I mean, this was an idea that he presented to the village. Hey, let's move this mountain. Bro, you crazy. Get out of my face with that mess. But year after year, people began to see the progress. And then people started to help him. They started to bring him food. They started to bring him better tools. And eventually, they all joined in. And they finished the project. The people started to see. He was moving a mountain. What if we had faith like a mustard seed? Do you think we could move a few mountains? And what if we possess that faith and we were determined not to look back? What if we were like that poor villager, that poor laborer who worked day and night and kept looking forward, didn't look back? And do you see how his faith was contagious? Those who had once doubted, those who had once called him mad, those who had once said there is no way you can, wow, look at that. What if we had faith like a mustard seed? Do you think we could move a few mountains? And what if we were determined not to look back? What if what we would be saying is that assuredly in God we trust. And we favor over everything, including the past. We favor God. And thus we would be setting the stage for faith like never before. As we speak this morning, some of us in here have mountains in our lives. We have mountains that we've been praying for God to remove. And all I can say to that is keep praying and keep pleading and keep hammering. And I know there's going to be people in your life who say, listen, man, you've been praying that prayer for the past 10 years. Just like they told that villager, man, you've been hammering for the past 5 years, and all you have is a bunch of dust. All you have is a bunch of regrets. All you have is a pile of failure. But he kept hammering. You know, isn't it kind of cool that God didn't say, Jesus didn't say, you want to move this mountain? You need to have faith like a mountain. It would seem that if I had an equal strength of prayer or faith, I could move this huge mountain. But Jesus said, just have faith like a mustard seed. Faith like a mustard seed in whom? In God, who created the mountain, who's bigger than the mountain, who's bigger than our circumstance, who's bigger than our marriage problems, who's bigger than our drug addictions, who's bigger than all the issues that we might have at our job, who's bigger than church problems, who's bigger than all of that stuff. Have faith like a mustard seed in this big God. Take him out of the box that we have constructed for him to live in, and understand that he is big enough to move the stuff that we cannot move ourselves. Faith like a mustard seed. What if we had that type of faith and was determined not to look back, favoring the past, favoring what's back there, but favoring what's ahead? And that's our God, who's a big God. Amen. Jesus' pronouncement regarding mustard seed faith and the moving of mountains should be both an encouragement and a challenge. And both the challenge and the encouragement is to believe in a God who is bigger than the dilemma, bigger than the issue, bigger than the disease, bigger than a dysfunction, and bigger than our imagination. Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Over the next several weeks, journey with us as we talk about faith on March 24th. Brother David Myers Jr. is going to be here. A few years ago, David Myers was on his deathbed with a failing liver. And 3-4 years later, David is now going around preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. The evidence suggested that he was done. But what if our faith was bigger than the evidence? We're going to explore faith, and in exploring faith, maybe we come up with newer and fresher definitions of faith. But no dictionary or no commentary is going to define faith better than us living faith, us showing faith, us experiencing faith, us exhibiting faith, like the mountain man, who was determined. Faith, hey, I don't mind saying he had faith within himself to say, I can do this. But it was catchy. It was contagious. And it changed a village. Might we have that type of faith in our church, in our lives? And may we have a faith that doesn't shrink back. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being a God who is so much bigger than all we could come up with in our minds, in our psyche. God, over and over again, you display that you're powerful and bigger. And God, we don't pretend to understand totally what it means to have faith like a mustard seed. And God, we don't even pretend to understand what it means to move mountains. But God, I'm praying that you would somehow lead us from the madness of trying to determine what that means, and lead us to a place where we're fixing our eyes on you, where we're fixing our eyes on this idea that you are so much bigger that trying to contain you or trying to define you, it's just erroneous. It's futile. It's ridiculous, Lord. So God, we're asking for you in this place to show yourself in ways that you've never shown your way before. God, give us the heart and the endurance to stand it. Because I would imagine once you do it, it's something that has the potential to knock us out. But God, we want to live by faith, and thus we're not looking back. We're looking forward. We're looking to you. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured opposition, ridicule, evil men. God, might we embody that same type of spirit, attitude, and faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something in your life here just in desperate need of God taking control over. As we sing this song, I want you to be encouraged to share that with God, number one. But we also encourage you to share that with the body of Christ so that we can be praying for you. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you've been thinking about giving your life to Jesus Christ, you want to profess faith with him, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll do that. If you want to share a story of how God is working in your life with the body, we want to invite you to do that as well. So stand and let's sing.